Good to be with you here again today. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, is it not? Whether you feel like it or not, sometimes you don't feel like being in church. Sometimes you don't feel like getting out of bed. Sometimes the older you get, you're like, man, I'm just getting too old for this. Anyways, we're going to pray and we're going to jump in the Word and let God speak to us. Amen. Lord God, we need you. We need you to be here in our presence. We need you to speak to us. We need you to open our hearts and our minds, our eyes and our ears. Lord, I pray for that for each man and woman and a child that's here, even those who are listening online by video. Lord, may your word encourage us. May it uplift our spirits. May it motivate us to live godly in an ungodly world. We pray these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and the children of God said, amen. All right, well, we're going to look at 2 Timothy as it says on this, on the board there. That's pretty convenient for me, 1 verse 7. We're going to look at one verse today. But I'm going to cover a few more scriptures for you, okay? So, what does 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 say? Well, it is there on your screen. Praise the Lord. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of, I heard one guy, fear, but of power and of love and of sound of mind. I kind of want to break this down into four parts here. Talk about fear, first of all. Fear. If you're too fearful to tell someone about the Lord, then, you know, maybe you don't even know him in the first place. If you're too fearful. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I'm glad about that. So stop living in fear of what others think, you know. Just about everybody's afraid of something, right? I can remember I've pretty much been afraid of snakes my entire life. Why am I afraid of them? Well, if it bites me, it could potentially kill me, right? People are afraid of heights because if they fall off, then guess what? They could potentially die, right? Most people are afraid of something that's going to potentially hurt them or kill them. Well, me, it happened to be snakes, and I remember this was years ago that there was a big old snake in our yard, and someone spotted it in my family, and she says, there's a snake out there. Go ahead and kill it. I said, well, I'm afraid of snakes, you know? So I get out there, and I grab the shovel, and I'm trying to get my courage up, right? I'm going to kill the snake. This is about a 6-foot snake, right? And I don't know what kind of snake it is, but I'm trying to get my courage up, and I'm taking my time, and it's starting to kind of crawl away, and she says to me, just give me the shovel. I'm going to kill it myself. I said, you can't do that because if the snake bites you, it's going to kill you, and you're pregnant. Give me that shovel. I got to kill this thing. So I got my courage up, and I went, and I killed it, hit it about 10 times. Problem was the ground was soft, and so I had to just keep stabbing it, and finally I killed the thing. Praise God, right? I didn't get hurt, but I had to face my fear. Man, that was tough. Many of us fear using our gifts for Jesus, unfortunately, and we fear ridicule, we fear mockery, we fear embarrassment, criticism, opposition. The list goes on and on. What are people going to think if I tell them about Jesus? Don't want to offend them. If I offended them, what's going to happen? Maybe they won't be my friend anymore. Maybe they won't talk to me. Well, you know, the gospel is offensive, right? But God wants us to bring the gospel in what? In love, right? We're not to fear what man can do us. Matthew 10, 28, you're probably familiar with this one. It says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. God has that power to destroy your body and your soul in hell. That's the one we should be fearful of, is Almighty God himself. Not fearful of our fellow man, who desperately needs to hear about Jesus Christ, right? Proverbs 29:25, it says, the fear of man brings the snare, But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. A snare is symbolizing a trap or danger that entangles a person, much like a hunter's trap. And traps. A lot of you guys trap different animals, and I've trapped some animals, and, you got to use some bait, right? But the fear of man will bring a snare. It will entrap you. So the question is, how can we stand up for Christ in a world that makes fun of Jesus, who mocks Jesus, who curses Jesus, who uses his name in vain? How can we stand up for Jesus Christ and live for him? Well, according to this verse, we got to let God equip us, not with fear, but with what? Power, love, and a sound mind. God has given us that spirit. God's equipment does not include fear, but it includes love, power, and a sound mind. So the question is, how can you have a sound mind if your mind is focused on this world? Your mind is focused on the TV. Your mind is focused on your phone and the internet and the YouTube and all these things. You can't. Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things. Y'all know this one, right? You should know this one by heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love what John 15:5 says. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do everything, right? Is that what it says? Of course not. It says, for without me, you can do nothing. Nada. We do need Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes Satan fools us to think that, hey, I can just do this by myself. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 28 and verse 1. It says this, the righteous are bold as a lion. I remember going to a zoo one time, and there was this lion, and it was the end of the day, and they threw this big giant carcass leg over, like probably a cow leg. I don't remember. I was a young kid. But I remember that lion literally ate up that bone and broke the bone of that giant piece of meat. And it was pretty terrifying. And lions aren't afraid of anything. Well, guess what? The very scripture says, the righteous are bold as a lion. Why am I bold? I'm bold because of the Jesus that lives in me. And if I don't have Jesus living in me, then I'm not going to have that boldness. But if I do have him living in me, and I'm living a righteous, godly life, I'm going to be bold as a lion. I'm going to share the message of hope and forgiveness and of joy and of peace in the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody I come in contact with. If you were here last week, delivered people deliver the what? The message. So, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but first of all, of power. Do you realize the power that you have as a Christian? A lot of people, unfortunately, I don't think they understand the power that they have in Jesus Christ. The power is there, but you have to die to yourself. You have to submit yourself over to the Lord on a daily basis, an hourly basis, a minute by second basis. And if not, guess what? It's real easy to get off course, is it not? It is. I know from experience. And you do too. You have to be connected to the vine, John 15. You know, a light switch is only good when it's turned on, right? The lights aren't going to come on until the light switch is turned on. And if anybody knows about electrical, then basically you got electrical power here and electrical wire here and wire here, and the switch is in the middle, and the switch basically makes the power so it can go and be connected. Until that power is connected, the light ain't going to come on, or the power is not going to come on. I remember my grandpa, he was an electrician. And he told me about getting hit by 440 and whatever else. And he told me some stories, and I love my grandpa. He's been passed on now. But He had a lot of lights and switches that he needed replaced in his house. And so he says, hey, come here, I'll teach you out in this and that. And so instead of turning the power off, of course, he says, oh, no, this is just 110. We don't need to turn the power off. Here, son, just turn this. You call me son. Go ahead and turn this, do this, you know. And I'm here to tell you I got hit and I jumped 3 feet in the air. And he'd been doing this thing for so long, this electrical work. I'd seen him get hit about 3 or 4 times, and he just, all you saw was like his wrist just twitch. That was it. How powerful is God? How powerful is your God? That's the question. How powerful is the God of this Bible right here? You can't measure his power. Beyond imagination, of course, there's no way to measure it. And he does have the power to throw your soul into hell. That's kind of scary. Question is, what do you need power to do as a Christian? You need power to do the will of God. That's what you need power to do, rather than your own will. You need God's power to say no to your flesh, say no to Satan, say no to the sin, say no to the temptation. Of course, God always provides a way of escape, right? Praise be unto God. Hey, I know I'm a believer because now God has provided a way of escape. I took the way of escape that he gave me from the sin, and I said no to it. There's some evidence of my salvation here, right? A lot of us think the evidence of our salvation is, hey, I said a prayer. I'm good to go. That's the very beginning. Then there's got to be some evidence. There's got to be some fruit, right? By their fruit you shall know them. Bad trees bear bad fruit. Good trees bear good fruit, right? I had a friend, chaplain friend, and naturally speaking, he tells me he's about 1 out of 20 people in the entire world who can bench press 865 pounds, naturally speaking, without any sort of steroids or whatever else, artificial stuff. I'm like, man, this is amazing. That's just very super limited. That's just the natural strength that he has, but man, the power of God and the power that the Christian has, I think we too many times forget of who we are, right? And the power that we've been given through Jesus Christ. So, Acts 1:8, what's it say? But ye shall receive, go ahead and say it, P-O-W-E-R, power. I don't hear anybody say that. Power. There you go. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Say witnesses. What does a witness do? A witness tells what happened, right? Hey, Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It's pretty simple, but yet sometimes, many times, we neglect to do what we're supposed to do. A witness has power from the Holy Ghost to witness in church. Just church, right? No, everywhere. God gives us the power to be a witness wherever we go. He says, be salt. He says, be light, right? It's God's power that moves my mouth. It's God's power that moves my feet. It's God's power that moves my hands. It's God's power that moves my heart. It's God's power living in me. If, key word, if he's living in me. You look at the Bible, there's a lot of ifs in there. Hey, if this be true, then this is going to be the case for you. Another one of my favorites, Romans 1:16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Hey, this is not exclusive to this group of people or to this country or to this. It's for everybody. So if it's for everybody, why aren't we telling everybody, right? God's not given a spirit of fear, but of power. And what next? Love. We just told Pastor Clint we love him. Guess what? We love them a lot, but guess what? God loves them even more. You might love your husband or wife a lot, but guess what? God loves them even more. You might love your kids a lot, but God loves them even more. God gives us power, but also love. And guess what? Love comes from God. How do I know that? 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read verse 7 through 12. And it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God showed, verse 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. You know, before I met Jesus Christ, I had a hatred towards all people. And I didn't even know why. Why do I hate all these people? But then I met Christ, and Christ came in. Christ forgave me of my sins. He came into my heart. I confessed with my mouth. I believed in my heart. And guess what? The hate was now gone. Praise be unto God. That's a supernatural love that God gives us because he is love. And the opposite of love, of course, is hate. But praise be God, he filled my heart, and now, hey, I don't hate people anymore. I love them. And since I love them, I'm going to tell them what's best for them. Right? If you love someone and they're on fire and they're burning in their house, you're not going to be like, hey, have a good luck with that one, man. You're going to go try to rescue them, right? Because you love them. If you love someone, you're going to try to take care of them. Look out for them, right? God wants us to love. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, your strength. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. I truly believe that if you can't love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then you're definitely not going to love your neighbor as yourself. And if I love my neighbor, I'm going to tell my neighbor what the truth is. I can't change my neighbor, but I can definitely give him a good chance to hear what the truth is of the gospel. Amen? I heard one amen. I'm going to tell my neighbor what the truth is in love because I love my neighbor like I love myself. Because I love God with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength, I can't help but love my neighbor. Even though my neighbor is despicable and angry and whatever adjective you want to put on your neighbor, okay? Some of y'all are laughing because some of y'all got some neighbors that are, you know, they need help. They need Jesus like we need Jesus. And who better to tell them than you? Because guess what? You're going to encounter people that I never encountered in my entire life. And likewise, I'm going to encounter people that you never encountered in your life. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love. He didn't say, I love them. He showed it. And he showed it on the cross, right? This perfect blood, perfect sacrifice to take away our imperfect sins. Praise be unto God. In turn, God wants us to demonstrate our love for him and others. So how can we say we love God when we have yet to share the gospel message of the love of God to those around us? A lot of people say, hey, I love God. Hey, I'm a Christian. Are you demonstrating the love that God demonstrated for you? Are you demonstrating the love that God demonstrated for you? If you are, praise be in God. If not, well, guess what? Today's the day to start, right? So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and finally, a sound mind. A sound mind. Sound mind God gives us to make wise decisions, sound decisions that benefit not just ourselves, that benefit other people. In the Greek, I'm going to throw a Greek word out to you here. Sophomorism, and I'm not a Greek scholar, okay? But in the Greek, for sound mind means a saved mind or a self-controlled and able to control one's feelings, emotions, and thoughts in the middle of stressful and trying times. So the question is, do you have a saved mind? A sound mind. How can you have a sound mind if your mind is focused on the wrong things? Well, you can't. When we live for him, the possibilities are endless of what we can do with a life that is fully surrendered to him. Question is, are you fully surrendered? As in, hey, I'm following my Savior, Jesus Christ, with everything. I love him with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. My life's his. My finances are his. My feet are his, my hands are his, my eyes are his, my ears are his, my family's his, my job's his. Where I go, it's all his. Here to tell you today that the fully surrendered person who lives for Jesus Christ bears testimony for Christ and is delivered from fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Hey, I don't have to fear man. What's man going to do to me? Man going to kill me? Well, guess what? If you kill me, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to go be with the Lord. It's a win-win situation being a Christian, man. I don't have to be quiet. I get to share the message of Jesus Christ with boldness, but with love and with a sound mind. And I get to show people, hey, I have a different life now. I don't have to do the same things I used to do. I don't have to live a life of despair and of hopelessness and of being depressed and, man, just going to Walmart, right? Look around. People everywhere, man. Their faces are like doom and gloom. And you walk out, watch them walk out, and they walk out to a $200,000 car or whatever else, and you're like, man, they got like everything going on, but they don't have Jesus, though, do they? Because if they did, there'd be some change in their countenance, right? There would be a change in their life. Kind of wrap this thing up here. Romans 8, verse 5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. We live in a wicked world, do we not? Wickedness is all around us. It doesn't take too long to, you pull out your phone and there it is right there in front of you. Turn on your TV right there in front of you. Goes through right there all around you, right? But God wants us, he says, come out from among them and be separate, be different. Doesn't mean completely separate yourself. He says, hey, we got to go to the people, man. We got to go rescue them. They're on fire. They need help. And if I have the love of God in me, I have the greatest message, then why am I keeping this message from the people around me? Someone said, it's okay to be afraid, but don't let fear stop you. Back to that snake for a second. I was afraid of that snake. I was fearful, but I didn't let it stop me from doing what I knew I needed to do. I know that snake needed to die, okay? Now, there's some good snakes out there now, okay, right? But I didn't know. I had to protect. I had to face the fear. Fear is not from God. So, recognize who you are in Jesus Christ and go proclaim the gospel message to everyone. If you're filled with his love, if you're filled with his power, if you're filled with a sound mind. And if not, I hate to break it to you, but you're going to be fearful. and fearful people, they shrink up and they hide. And that's what God called Christians to do. He says, go. Like last week, what did he say? Go. Go. Fearful people don't go. Fearful people stay right where they're at, right in their little church pew, stay where they're right there, they're nice and comfortable, and they don't go. But people that have power and love and a sound mind, they go. Praise be to God. I don't know where you're at here today. There's a lot of people in here. I pray you don't have a spirit of fear, because God didn't give us that, but he gave us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. So to conclude, if you hadn't heard what I had to say already, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I think I remotely heard you, but I pray I get to hear you better this week as you go into your neighborhoods, workplaces. There's people that need to hear from you. God calls us to go to them, does he not? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to be believers who are unafraid, unapologetic, and filled with your Holy Spirit to the point of we can't help but tell the people around us. Lord, fill us with your power, your love, and a sound mind, and help us to declare that you are the only way of salvation. Jesus, move our minds, our hearts, our wills, our focus, our strength to glorify you in everything that we do. Lord, I pray for many to be saved, many laborers to be sent forth. I pray that your will would be done in this congregation of people here before me. Lord, I pray you open doors of opportunity to share the message of hope and of forgiveness and of grace and of mercy, of how Jesus Christ died to set us free from our sin, to rescue us from a place called hell. God, you alone are all-powerful. You are love. And you do not give us a spirit of fear, but you give a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Help us to live in that realm, Lord, and none other. And we look forward to what you do this week and each person here. We pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.